Good afternoon. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Health and Social Services Committee to order. Time is February 23rd, 2014, 1:35. I'm joined today by Senator Meyer and Senator Kelly, and myself, Senator Stedman. We have one bill on the agenda today. That's Senate Bill 135, Extend Alaska Healthcare Commission by Senator Olson. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and take a look at moving the bill from committee unless there's some extension. This is an extension bill, unless there's some issue that comes up, and then we'll continue to work on issues. With that, we have representation from Senator Olson's office because he is predisposed in another meeting. If you can identify yourself for the record, who you represent, and tell us what we have in front of us, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, and thanks for hearing the bill today. My name is David Scott. I'm staffed with Senator Olson. The bill in front of you, SB 135, extends the termination date of the Alaska Healthcare Commission. It's a sunset bill. It does it for 3 years from, we're changing 2014 to 2017. The Healthcare Commission was created, established in 2010, and it has 11 voting members. Three other members represent the Senate, the House, and the Office of the Governor. They have the legislative auditor has concluded that the Alaska Healthcare Commission is serving the public interest and is meeting its statutory obligations. There are some recommendations there and concerns that Chris Curtis from LBNA, Legislative Budget Audit, for the folks at home, that LBNA have and she could hear and drill down on those issues for you. You know, we also have here Dr. Ward Hulbert, who's the commission chair. He's also the chief medical officer for the state. And we have Deb Erickson, who's the executive director of the commission. There is a fiscal note attached, and there's also several pieces of backup that we've afforded to the committee that the members have, reports that the commission has commissioned or put forward. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I can answer any questions about the mechanics of the bill, but we do have experts here who could drill down farther into the issues for the committee.
Do we have questions from committee members? Do we have anybody signed up? Okay, we're going to go to the public hearing portion of this bill. We have one person on the off net. If you can identify yourself for the record, who you represent, and speak to the bill, please. We'll start with David Morgan.
Hello, my name is Dave Morgan. I actually serve on the commission, and I fill a seat to represent community health centers, and I've been on the commission since it started. And I just wanted to offer to the committee that in support of the bill that I find that in my going to meetings, whether it's education, legislative hearings here in Anchorage, Indian Health meetings, healthcare financial managers meetings, data and reports that have flowed from the Healthcare Commission have been used quite extensively, especially in cost transparency and looking at cost drivers that have affected the healthcare cost increases and inflation. And in fact, in the Healthcare Financial Managers National periodical, it talks about developing transparency, all payer databases, and uses the examples that are happening on the state level as being way ahead of the federal process of bringing transparency, and that the industry needs to support those activities. I personally find that as an economist and someone that's been doing this for a little over 31 years, that the studies that have been produced and the information that's being shared by all the professionals on the commission and the support from Dr. Herbert and Deb have produced some work and information to drill down on solving a lot of these problems. In fact, I saw one presentation on healthcare drivers on the Anchorage school system used here twice that basically the salaries of teachers have stayed flat, but the healthcare costs and benefit costs out of have been the main drivers of creating a lot, several and many of the budget problems that the local school district has had here, whether it's Medicaid, insurance rates, even the cost of health care of your retired beneficiaries. It is the main driver of increasing costs on the public and private sector. And the Health Care Commission, through its development over the last couple, two or three years, looking into these and doing studies that are unbiased, that are not representing, and with the commission made up of so many professionals that have been doing this a long time, even though they represent some parts of the industry, has been a great place to develop ideas and to produce suggestions to help fix these problems. I think they're a year or two ahead, but from what I can tell, this has been a good return on investment for the state and for the public. And last, the Alaska Insurance Healthcare Underwriters, who I hope will call in, I encourage them to Friday, told me they've been trying to get information, especially on pricing and cost, for almost 12 years. This is the first time through our study that was developed through the commission that they actually got something and got something credible that they could use in helping to control health care costs. So that's my 3 minutes and my suggestion through all this. And I appreciate the time of the committee to get to say that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Morgan. I did jump out of sequence. There is one fiscal note in your packet from the Department of Health and Social Services showing the cost to continue the commission in the amount of $165,000 in federal funds, $335,000 in general funds, for a total of $500,000. The funding is currently included in the governor's proposed FY15 operating budget. And because Senate Bill 135 has a positive fiscal note, we're going to send it to the finance, or I won't, the Senate President will send it to the Finance Committee. Everything with fiscal notes go to the Finance Committee. And we will now hear from the Legislative Audit Team, led by Chris Curtis. If she can introduce herself for the record, who she represents, and speak to the bill, please.
For the record, my name is Chris Curtis. I represent the Division of Legislative Audit. Our agency did conduct a sunset audit of this commission. The report is dated May 6th of 2013. The purpose of the audit was to determine whether the commission was operating in the public's interest and whether its termination date should be extended. Since the commission is new, our audit put in a little bit of background information. That starts on, I think, page 5 of the audit. It was first created in 2008 by an administrative order and then recreated or established in statute in 2010. It was created as a way to help reform health care in Alaska. The legislature intended for the commission to achieve reform through developing a statewide health plan. The plan was to be based on education, sustainability, management efficiency, health care effectiveness, public-private partnerships, research, personal responsibility, and individual choice. The original commission established in 2008 did not consider itself responsible for developing a statewide health plan. Instead, the commission focused its efforts on specific policy recommendations. So when the commission was reestablished in 2010, the commission members agreed to continue the prior commission's work and use the same general approach. Rather than working on a state health plan, the commission collected information from various cost studies and developed high-level policy recommendations. The commission also established general priorities, which evolved into a strategic plan or a strategic framework. The framework is summarized in the audit as Appendix A. Overall, the audit concluded that the commission is operating in the public's interest, but improvements in the development of a state health plan are needed to justify its continued existence. The legislature intended for the commission to work together with the Department of Health and Social Services to create a comprehensive health plan. Although various policy recommendations were developed, the commission did not collaborate with Health and Social Services to achieve its intended outcome, and there is no state health plan. Consequently, the audit recommends only a 3-year extension, which we consider to be adequate time to develop a plan. The audit concluded that the commission is active. It is very active. Several studies have been conducted, and a foundation for a plan has been developed. Our concern is that the framework lacks the actionable components necessary for effective implementation. It does not identify specific actions to be taken, the time frame for completion, the organization responsible for taking action, the definition of a successful outcome, nor does it specify how progress will be monitored and measured. Without a statewide health plan, the actions of the commission may not effectively impact health care in Alaska. The audit recommends the commission coordinate with Health and Social Services Commissioner to identify each agency's role and responsibilities regarding developing a plan and pursue development accordingly. The audit also includes two administrative type recommendations, one to improve public noticing of meetings and one to ensure annual reports include all statutorily required components.
Do we have any questions? Great. Thank you for your testimony. Next up, Ward Hulbert. Please, if you can come forward.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. For the record, my name is Ward Hulbert. I'm the Chief Medical Officer of the Department of Health and Social Services and the Chair of the Alaska Healthcare Commission. I'll try to be brief here. As you've heard, the commission was established looking at issues of affordability, accessibility, and quality of health care. We have spent most of our time looking at issues related to cost, but not solely cost, and cost and quality do go in hand. To place a little context, we all know that the United States has the highest health care costs in the world, and compared to other industrialized countries, we're higher. If you take the next highest cost country, Switzerland, and if you look at the last 20 years, if the United States had spent for health care what Switzerland spent, and the Swiss live longer than we do and their babies die less, but if you took what Switzerland had spent on a per capita basis, we would have saved $15 trillion in the U.S. That's almost our total gross national debt. So it's a significant funding. We know in Alaska our health care costs are higher than any other state except for Massachusetts, and there is an older population there, and some of the changes in their health care system have increased costs. Alaska spends more than $8 billion a year on health care, and the state government spends about $2.5 billion a year. Medicaid, active employees, those in the union trust, retirees, workers' comp, prisons, corrections, and so on. The unfunded liability for health care costs for retirees is about $4 billion in the state. And unlike the unfunded pension liability, I believe, and the commission would believe, that the unfunded $4 billion liability for retirees really could be subject to bringing that down by improving the way we spend money for health care. It is a current issue. You heard from David Morgan about the school district, the recent headline in the Anchorage Daily News from the 22nd of January, talking about their budget problems. Over the last 30 years, the Anchorage School District has had an average of about 1% a year above the rate of inflation and salary cost increases. But the cost for the health care costs have gone up about 15% more than the cost of inflation. So those benefits costs have gone from 20% of the compensation costs for Anchorage School District employees to 45%. And the Juneau School District and the Fairbanks School District have the same findings. The U.S. News and World Report and the Los Angeles Times recently reported in California that standard normal delivery, not a cesarean section, in California hospitals cost between about $3,300 and $37,000. Now, things cost a lot more up here than they do in California, but there's that disparity, which is hard to rationalize. New York Times a couple of weeks ago had an article about a woman with a small lesion on her skin. It was a basal cell carcinoma, something you want to have off but not terribly dangerous. Cost her over $25,000. There was an article in this week's Economist magazine called Need to Know, talking about differences in outcomes. And we know, for example, that if you have heart surgery, bypass surgery, your mortality rate is quite different between where you get it. And that information is often hard to get. So issues of transparency in terms of both cost and outcomes and quality is something that the commission has worked on and is working on. The process that we went through the legislative audit function was very helpful, and it was, from our standpoint, absolutely a constructive thing to do. We had not fostered a plan, but both the commission and the commissioner have embraced that recommendation in the audit and are working toward fostering a plan, which will be the department's plan. The commission serves as a convener for payers. Deb and I are both working with a group of HR representatives from some of the larger corporations in the state in their challenge because, for example, the HR director from CH2M Hill said, when my company looks at where we're doing work, healthcare costs in North Dakota are a whole lot lower than they are in Alaska. And that's one of the factors that my corporate bosses look at. IBM, for example, put a manufacturing plant in Iowa because the healthcare costs in Iowa were lower than they were in many other states. So we're working with payers in the state. We're working with both Department of Health and Social Services and administration that are the biggest payers in looking at how can we help control our health care costs, how can we get more transparency so that the negotiating process, we're not looking for government solutions, we're looking for a market-based solution. But where right now in the negotiation between the provider and the payer often doesn't have the information that they need. Again, as David Morgan mentioned, they don't have the outcomes information. And with a more equal partnership on both sides of the table as you negotiate, we believe that will serve Alaskans well. We very clearly see the provider side, hospitals, docs, hospital administrators, needing to be leaders in that. We all want to have a strong healthcare system in Alaska. The people that are there know the unique ethical and moral dimensions of this business, and we can't forget that. We can't just look for easy, quote, government solutions, price controls, or something of that sort. So let me quit at that. I know the time is limited, and we probably don't need to get too much into depth in that, but I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Doctor, for that presentation. So the auditors are recommending a three-year extension and felt like that would be enough time for you to do the health care plan. Are you in agreement with that?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, I am. In one conversation I had, somebody suggested, well, why does it need to be so short? Shouldn't it be maybe 8 years or some other period of time? And my response was I felt that the legislative audit process and the discipline that imposed on us was a positive and a constructive thing. So even if it were to be longer, I would suggest that there be some midpoint time to say, okay, is this serving our needs as a state, as a legislature, as a governor's office? And I think that the 3 years is a reasonable time. And then look again, the issue is not going away in 3 years. But is what the commission is doing meeting the needs of the state? Is it being productive? So, yes, absolutely, I would support that.
And Mr. Chairman, I'm going to ask some questions here, if you don't mind, and I won't have to ask them in finance this way.
That's fine.
I noticed you have two full-time people. That seems a little heavy for a commission, but can you explain maybe what they do and why you need two people?
Yeah. In this role that the commission has as the convener and the facilitator, There's a lot of outside work and representation. Deb Erickson, who needs just leaving to go to another meeting now, is the one that does a lot of that. She and I work together on a lot of it, but in putting documents together and in developing policy, she and I work actually very closely together. But she's the one that documents that, that engages in a lot of the outreach things where I have a day job as well. And the other one is the administrative support person who provides just the normal administrative kinds of things. That position has been vacant a few times, and when it is, it slows down the progress that we're able to do because Deb needs to pick up much of that. She works long hours there, and I see it as being productive kinds of things.
Okay, very good. And then so part of the money comes from the feds and the rest is from the state. Is that a state match or how do
It's Medicaid money that by what the state is eligible for, we're able to tap into that for about a third of the budget.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, thank you for your testimony today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
That concludes everybody that signed up to testify. So we'll go ahead and close the public hearing portion and look to the committee for the will of the committee. Senator Meyer, would you
want me to make the motion?
Make a motion to have the bill?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we move Senate Bill 135 from committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal notes.
Okay, we have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note with the request that it get a finance committee referral because it's got a fiscal note, which is standard procedure. Have any objections for moving the bill? Seeing no objections, we'll go ahead and move the bill from the committee to the next committee referral. That concludes today's meeting. Next meeting will be Wednesday, 5th of February, 1:30. The committee will hear a presentation on program integrity and fraud control in the state Medicaid and public assistance programs, and that is billing up to be a pretty interesting meeting that will affect a lot of areas of the state. With that, we are adjourned.